You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, wasn't Dancing with the Stars just great last night?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Someone is pretending the Bears didn't play.
Yeah, I'm not that good an actor. They played.
Yeah.
They stunk. And I want a piece.
Game stunk.
I want a piece of the head coach, which I'm going to get right off the top of this show.
So you're back to that. You're back to hating Nagy.
I only took a week off. I took 1 week off.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, from slamming him.
Yeah, I feel your pain in this one. Your team stinks. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, will the Rays force Game 7? Will LeBron show up for the start of the season? And will Wisconsin have to start a fourth-string quarterback? But we begin today with last night's utter no-show of the Chicago Bears offense. The final score was Rams 24, Bears 10. So the Chicago offense got outscored by the Rams and their own defense, which put up 7 of the 10. Current Bears savior quarterback Nick Foles was intercepted twice and sacked 4 times. Wilbon, would you like to focus on how good the Rams looked or how bad the Bears looked?
I don't know how good the Rams looked because they played the Bears, and the Bears had no clue. And it's an indictment of their head coach. Their head coach. Let me be very specific. It's an indictment of him because he came in as an offensive genius, and he has no offense, all right? So it's an indictment of him, the structure of his offense, and his play calling. At 4th-and-1 at 1:20, and I think it was still a real game, he hands off to his return man. All right? Who has his returner has probably never had a 4th-and-1 in his life, and blocking in the game at the same time is the guy, the draft pick, who looks like he can actually be a runner. And so he right now is failing the team in any number of ways and doesn't seem to get it. He doesn't even seem to understand that his opposite number, Coach McVay, just kicked his butt all over the field. And he's rarely accountable for what happens. He goes, wow, I've never been a part of something like this before. Well, you are now, and your offense, and you're supposed to be a genius, it stinks. I don't know that I can put a finer point on it than that.
So let me go through just a couple of things. One is I stopped watching that game at the half.
As you should have.
Because it was no contest, and it was close at the half because I had no sense that the Bears could do anything at all on offense. I mean, I think of the Bears as a defensive team, but I don't think of the Rams as a defensive team. So I thought there would be more from the Bears. Let me ask you this, because I heard this going on today. Is there a conflict between Foles and Nagy about the play calls, that they're the wrong calls? Because it's not like he's going back to Trubisky.
No, he can't go back to Trubisky because he didn't want to coach him and they got to trade him. But Foles knows this. Foles knows that he's calling plays that don't work. The protection, the offensive line is not good enough. And the protection has to slide with Foles because he's not mobile. Tony, this is an offensive coach who called running play after running play into Aaron Donald. How dumb is that strategy? Who would endorse that over and over again? And you can do this. You can go through. Tony, here's the trouble. His record as a head coach of the Chicago Bears is 25-14, I believe. And you look at that, he is going to look at it. He spent all week saying, well, we're 5-1. We're 5-1. Meantime, McVay spent all week saying, we stink and we're going to fix it. And I'm going to be critical of everybody starting with me. Nagy doesn't seem to have that gene. He thinks it's all okay because he's really swell. And that team stinks, and it's on his watch now.
I'll just be very brief, saying they are both right now 5-2, and there's no comparison. The Rams are a much better 5-2 than the Bears are a 5-2.
Yes.
Much better much now. Better. Yeah.
Can we go to something else? Because now you got me steamed.
Sure.
Sure. The Dodgers will win the World Series tonight, or the Rays will force a Game 7. Tampa turns to its ace, 2018 Cy Young winner Blake Snell, while Los Angeles counters with rookie Tony Gonsolin. Gonsolin went 4 outs in Game 2, but Dave Roberts hopes he'll go 5 or 6 innings tonight. Tone, do you like the Rays, plain and simple, to push this to a Game 7?
So let me go over Gonsolin just for a second. The statistics from these playoffs. He's gone 7 2/3 innings. He's given up 8 earned runs, 7 walks, and 3 home runs. Why would I have faith in him? More importantly, why would Dave Roberts have faith in him? Why would Dave Roberts say he could go 5 or 6? I mean, I don't even understand that. On the other side, the task for Kevin Cash is just to know exactly when to hook Blake Snell. Because Blake Snell's numbers through 4 and after 4 right. are incredibly different.
4 2/3 in the last outing, right? If
he goes 4 innings and 4 innings only, 3 runs in 20 innings and a 1.35 ERA, once he gets past the 4th,
yep.
6 runs in 4 1/3 innings and a 12.56 ERA. So if you hook him at the right time, given the fact that it's Gonsolin, who has not won a Cy anything, against Snell, who has won a Cy Young. If you hook him at the right time, the Rays should win, even though I don't want to see that. Go ahead.
You don't want to see a game 7?
No, I like the – I just – you know, I think the Dodgers are better. That's all. I just think the Dodgers are better.
Fine. I didn't know you were the keeper of the Dodgers. I'm rooting for the Dodgers.
No,
I got one up on you. I know the owner, okay? So I'm rooting for the Dodgers. But I want to see a game 7. Who doesn't want to see a game 7? What are you talking about? Let me just say this. I'll give you an over-under on Snell. Snell's got to go 6 innings tonight for the Tampa Bay Rays.
He doesn't go 6.
I'm saying to you
Mikey
that
doesn't
tonight,
go 6.
He's got to go 6. Look, trends are broken, huh? And there's a certain Dodger ace who had a stinky history, but he's been pretty good in this World Series, right? And certainly the last two games.
Yes.
So I'm telling you, Snell's got to go 6. If they get 6 innings out of him tonight, I mean good innings where he's given up 3 or fewer runs, I think Tampa will force this to a game 7.
Let me go to Kershaw for a second, because his 2 victories give the Dodgers the chance to win, because it gives them Buehler if there is a game 7.
That's right.
And they get to see Charlie Morton, who was great, but when they saw Charlie Morton, they hit Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
So Kershaw's 2 victories are absolutely critical. Our next story focuses on the potential December 22nd start of the NBA. Danny Green, who's on the championship Lakers, isn't sure that a December 22nd start will please the Lakers in general or please LeBron James specifically. Green told The Ringer, this quote is great, "I think most guys are saying, I'm not going to be there. I wouldn't expect to see LeBron there. I wouldn't expect to see him probably for the first month of the season," unquote. Woo! Wilbon, do you expect to see LeBron on December 22nd?
Yeah, because isn't that when they get their rings? LeBron going to skip the ring ceremony? I don't think so. He'll be there. Now, they can have load management, and he can play a quarter and you know, have some red wine at the end of the bench or do whatever he wants to do, but he's going to be there to get that ring. And I think that Danny Green, who's won some championships in his life now, will be there too. So, look, I understand why they feel this way. I totally get it. They're exhausted. They're emotionally, mentally, physically shot. They didn't just win a championship and go to they did this in a bubble. They didn't have their families. Yeah. They had no normalcy. They had nothing. I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to post either. But the league is going to have to do this, Tony, in television commitments. Our bosses and the bosses at Turner and the bosses at the local sports affiliates, they're the reasons in large part, not entirely, that this season is going to probably at least attempt to start earlier than seems reasonable.
So everything in life is negotiable, and this is negotiable as well. Adam Silver has bent over backwards for the players many times. He's bent over backwards for LeBron James. That week off during the All-Star game, that's LeBron James. But if I'm LeBron James, honestly, I don't know what he's thinking, but this last championship, this was the legacy championship. This was the third different franchise.
Hard.
He doesn't have to win another, and he doesn't have to win another this year. So if he wants to not go, if he wants to pick up his ring and then say, I'll see you in a month, he can do that. Because the one thing that is true about LeBron more than any other star now is that he doesn't phone it in. When he shows up, he plays. You can put it on LeBron James. I think LeBron, you know, I don't know what he's thinking, but Danny Green said this so matter-of-factly, didn't he?
He did, Tony, and I think I understand particularly the Lakers and Miami Heat players feeling this way. They're going to get what amounts to no offseason in the world in which we live now. I mean, the NBA season goes forever anyway. But they're not going to have an offseason. And LeBron's not, and he's 35, and this would be season, what, 18 or something like that? I get it. I'm just saying, is he going to be there when they start the season, whenever that is, for the first night? He's going to be there then. Whatever he does after that, I would applaud LeBron. Yeah, I'm like you.
Yeah, how about
whatever
the second
he
night,
does,
or the third night, or
third
the fourth
night? Yeah.
Let's take a break. Coming up, some believe the Steelers are better than the Chiefs. Is that supportable?
Undefeated is always supportable. Joe Burrow's been really impressive, but hasn't Justin Herbert been a little bit better?
But the NBA wants people in the stands to buy concessions and stuff
that.
Like that.
They're
I don't
not
know
getting
that's
that in
happen.
December or January or February
so.
Or March. They're
no.
not getting that.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time for toss-up, where I play the role of Aaron Donald and Mike plays the role of whichever bear tried to block Aaron Donald. What's first?
Toss-up, better team, the 6-0 Steelers or the 6-1 Chiefs?
Okay, the Chiefs lost. That matters. They lost to the Raiders 40-32. It does matter. But when I look at the Chiefs, I see gold. I see Mahomes. I think he's the best player in football. The Steelers are really good. They're amazingly, to me, better without Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And Ben Roethlisberger back this year is a really good professional quarterback. Yeah, I understand that. Although I didn't like his last choice of passes into the end zone against Tennessee. I'll just give you small points. The Chiefs are plus 75 on differential. The Steelers are plus 65, so that's a small point. Steelers opponents are 16-23-1. Chiefs opponents are 20-24. That's better. That's a small point.
Slightly.
I just think, Mike, and I know you love the Steelers.
I do.
I just think the ceiling is higher for the Chiefs. That's all I'm saying.
It may be higher, Tony, but in terms of better right now, look, if we're going to do some esoteric stats, the Steelers are sixth. The defense is sixth in points allowed in the league. The Chiefs are 10th. Not an enormous difference, but a difference, Tony. Ben Roethlisberger has run two Super Bowls and been in three, 2-1 to Mahomes, all right? But basically,
well,
we're talking
is 20
about
years younger.
So basically, you don't penalize LeBron for being older when he's in his 18th year. You just praised him. So praise Big
LeBron
Ben.
LeBron just won last week.
Give it
just
up
won.
For Big Ben.
Like
he's
Mahomes
won two,
just won last week.
What's harder, two Super Bowls or four NBA titles? It's interesting. I don't have the answer. But let me say this: the Kansas City Chiefs have a blemish. They lost not just to the Raiders. They lost at home, which you failed to point out because you're trying to make
a silly
point.
I said they lost to the Raiders, and I said it
mattered. They lost at home.
Next.
Toss
Steelers. Next.
More impressive rookie quarterback, Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert?
Both look very good, but neither has won. I mean, they don't even win games. Burrow is like 1-5-1, and Herbert is 1-4. And Herbert's team is a little bit better. The Chargers are better than the Bengals. I can go to numbers. The numbers favor Herbert.
They do.
Herbert has 12 touchdowns and 3 picks. Burrow has 9-5. Herbert has a 108 rating. Burrow has 89. Herbert's been only sacked 10 times. Burrow's been sacked 28 times. The one number Burrow has is he's on pace right now to break Andrew Luck's record for most yards ever by a rookie. Look, if you take Herbert, I get it. I understand it. He looks really good. I just look at, you know, I look at Burrow and I think he's better. Maybe I'm blind. I just think he's a little better.
Not only does Herbert have 12 touchdown passes to only 3 interceptions, he's gone 10 to one in the last three games in touchdowns to interceptions.
Matters.
And he's thrown seven touchdowns now in a row without an interception. Tony, he looks in command. He looks like he belongs. From the very first time I called you week one, and you did not disagree. And we both said, my God, Herbert, where did this come
from?
Did people overlook him? He looks in control of what he's doing and what his team is doing. The test now is, and I got to give credit to others like Dan Orlovsky, who have said this, Boomer Esiason, and guys who played in some bad, tough situations. Those front offices have to do right by those young quarterbacks and put talent around them. And the question is, will they?
Cincinnati needs people to block. I mean, the guy shouldn't be sacked 28 times. No. We'll see. They're both pretty good. That's it. It's another win for me, though. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Jerry Jones is asked whether the Cowboys have a leadership void, and we will tell you what he said.
When Tom Brady loses one of his weapons from Monday night against the Giants, like he needs that. Tony, if you were coordinating your first offense, the first game, would you run at Aaron Donald?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Happy time, people. Happy 23rd birthday, Lonzo Ball. You want to talk hype? Lonzo Ball was hype because his father, LeVar, wouldn't shut up. Ball was the number two overall pick out of UCLA by Magic Johnson and the hometown Lakers. Undoubtedly, Magic saw some of himself in this kid, a wonderful passer and not much of a shooter. LeVar never stopped talking, and Lonzo made himself expendable by having an average season or two in LA. Lonzo was exiled to New Orleans in the trade for Anthony Davis. He started 54 of 63 games this season, and he put up pretty good numbers. 11.8 points, 6.1 rebounds, 7 assists. He still can't shoot. It's a liability at the line at 56.6%, which may explain his reluctance to drive to the basket. But it's funny how fate steps in. In 2017, Stan Van Gundy said LeVar Ball was, quote, a far above average parent, unquote. Now Stan Van is Lonzo's coach in New Orleans. And youngest brother, LaMelo, could go one or two in this draft. Would having two sons go top two in the NBA draft change the perception of LeVar Ball?
You know what? If Lizzie and Michael and Matthew have been embarrassed at times in their lives, their athletic lives, to have the two of us at their games, you know, then, you know, imagine how these, I mean, these are studly players who go all the way straight to the NBA at high draft picks. Imagine how they must feel. Let me just say this. Right now, Lonzo still got Zion. I don't know if he'll have Redick and Jrue Holiday, but he's got Brandon Ingram. He's got people to pass the ball to. He can still develop and be a star at that position, Tony.
Happy anniversary, Trinity University Tigers. On this day, 13 years ago, the tiny San Antonio-based D3 school found itself down by 2 points to Millsaps College, with 2 seconds left on the clock and 60 yards away from a touchdown. 15 laterals, and 62 seconds later, Trinity crossed the goal line to win the game. Why don't we pick it up? Trinity is in white.
Why don't we pick it up? You can't even discern what's happening. You would fall asleep if you were the team trying to defend this. You would.
Now he laterals it to Curry. Curry's at the 49-yard line. He's dancing
around.
Look at
this.
He throws it back now
to Maddox. They're nowhere near the goal.
He throws it across the field to Barmore.
You couldn't even keep up with it.
Barmore looking to run. He's looking for a block. He's got a convoy.
Just pay attention to this.
He's got a convoy.
Thompson is the 30-yard line. Thompson now laterals it back to Curry at the 35.
Go.
Running out of spaces. Curry fakes.
Go.
Running out of spaces. Tomlin. Tomlin's got a chance to go. Tomlin got a chance to go. He laterals it. Now it's going to go to Maddox. Maddox at the 30-yard line. And now it's a lateral, and Curry's still going.
No way.
Here's
a lateral.
Look at it.
Great. It's Jonathan Weiner is on the call. Justin Thompson is his analyst. They handled it great. Curry scores. The Tigers win. Oh, my goodness.
That could be the most improbable win. Look, I know there's no band involved, but it makes the whole right? Stanford band thing look sort of, you know, just vanilla,
yes.
Doesn't it?
That's exactly how I felt when I saw it. It was great. Happy trails to another Wisconsin quarterback. The Uh-oh. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is reporting that third-string quarterback Chase Wolf tested positive for coronavirus. It had previously been reported that redshirt freshman Graham Mertz, who was so brilliant against Illinois, tested positive over the weekend. Mertz was 20 for 21 with 5 touchdowns in the 45-7 Wisconsin win. Wisconsin is awaiting a further test on Wolf, but it is being reported by CBS Sports that Mertz's positive test has been confirmed. Both Mertz and Wolf could miss a minimum of 21 days, according to Big Ten protocols. Wisconsin previously lost its first-string quarterback, Jack Cohn, to foot surgery earlier this month, and he's out indefinitely. The number 9 Badgers play at Nebraska this weekend. Their coach, Paul Chris, says he's confident Wisconsin can play the game. The next quarterback in line is redshirt junior Danny Vandenboom. What a great name, Vandenboom. After him, maybe Jake from State Farm.
Tone, I hate to hear this, hate to see it, and you know it could happen in any school. It's happened at a bunch of schools already. And the Big Ten with a 21-day penalty, this game yeah. now becomes sort of a must-watch. You know, what is Wisconsin favored to win the western part of the Big Ten? What are they going to be?
That kid was terrific.
He was.
I watched
great.
That game.
That the Phil kid Sims was performance in the Super Bowl. It was almost perfect.
Just terrific, as was Fields from Ohio State. We're running out of the show, and we go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Your boy Jerry Jones told 105.3 The Fan that he doesn't see a leadership void on the Cowboys. Do you?
Yeah, it's at the top of the pyramid. Leadership void. It's right there. The Ravens are officially signing Dez Bryant to their practice squad. Is that significant?
It is, because in 6 games, their wide receivers have a total of 2 touchdowns. It's possible that Dez Bryant, if he's ready to go, could get 2 touchdowns in a half. You know, they need wide receivers. Bucks receiver Chris Godwin will miss Monday night's game against the Giants with a broken finger. Is that a big loss?
1, it's the Giants. 2, Brady's got enough weapons, so I'm sure he'll find some people to scream and holler at and then be praised for it anyway. Southern Miss is on to its 3rd head coach of the season because its interim coach just left for Austin Peay. I know you got thoughts.
I don't understand how you can do that in the middle of the season, just walk out on your team and take another job. And at the end of the season, sure, not in the middle. Last one, Champions League today. What stood out, Mr. Soccer?
Shakhtar, baby, a 0-0 draw with Inter
Shakhtar.
Milan today. Still at the top of the table Shakhtar. In their group, Tony. Come on, get with it.
Yeah, Shakhtar. We're out of time. Try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. Shakhtar.
Steve Rose.
Say it
again. It's going to be in the 40s. Are you sure? Are you sure, Steve?
PTI.